Some bad news on day two in pads at Lions training camp on the injury front. We'll explain coming up next. And a guest.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Matt Derry with you. It is a Tuesday edition of Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network, a Tuesday, August 2nd, and a Wednesday, August 3rd. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Sun is shining. Lions are out there in pads again for the second day of a padded practice in Allen Park. We're going to talk to Nick Shook, our buddy from around the NFL at NFL.com. You see him on the NFL Network at times as well. Nick is going to join us momentarily to talk all things Detroit Lions and get his perspective of what he thinks this 2022 outfit will look like. Also coming up on the show today, an injury at camp today, not a good one at all, and a concern in that wide receiver room. We'll get into that momentarily here on Locked On Lions today as well. We appreciate you making us your first listen each and every day. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. In exactly 1 week, it's almost like a game is being played. Hard Knocks, Episode 1 on HBO Max, August 9th, in primetime. People are going to be so excited about this. And so it's a week away. First episode of Hard Knocks with your Detroit Lions. You can follow us on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on the old Twitter machine, and the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Also, as many of you are watching on YouTube, thank you for subscribing, commenting, and watching us each and every day on the Locked On Lions YouTube channel. We've been going strong with video for the last month or so. I was one of the last Locked On NFL hosts to grab a hold of this tree and climb it. But here we are on the YouTube page, so I'm excited about that. Thank you for watching each and every day. All right, so day two in pads, a lot of the same. You know, more people telling me, oh, Penei Sewell is just so dominant. Everybody's talking about Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson. Those two guys are getting the most ink. Also, Malcolm Rodriguez making a play and a push for playing time at the linebacker spot. Look, that linebacker spot is wide open. Some days, Sean Dion Hamilton looks good. Some days, Anzalone. Some days, Rodriguez. Chris Board. There's a lot of options for the Lions, but Malcolm Rodriguez has turned a couple of heads these last couple of days at padded practice down there at 222 Rod Wood Drive. But the big news, the big story today, wide receiver Quintez Cephus, who many people feel has had a really good camp, great offseason, coming back from injury last year. Today, had to be assisted off the field by trainers and further evaluation. Now, later in practice, Aleem the Dream McNeil also left practice, but he came back and actually had a sack later on in practice. But today, one-on-one drill, Cephus versus Jeffrey Okuda. Deep route. Cephus makes a tough catch. He and Okuda crashed to the ground, and Cephus was down for a while. Appeared to be grabbing his left leg. Helped up to his feet. Couldn't put any weight on the leg. Trainer supported him, and he was helped off the field. Remember last year, he broke his collarbone in 2021 and barely, you know, and was out for the year. So 15 catches last year, 204 yards, two touchdowns before breaking his collarbone in week five against Minnesota. Rookie year played really well. Yes, Trinity Benson is the next man up, according to sources, and has been repping with the first team at times at wide receiver. So that could be an option for Detroit as well. Don't forget about Khalil Pimpleton from CMU as well, but this would be a huge loss. Quintez Cephus has played very, very well. And you look at this year's roster as opposed to last year's, and the biggest upgrade that you see is at wide receiver. Yes, Jamison Williams is going to be out for a while, but the rookie from Alabama is going to be really, really good. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the addition of DJ Chark, who's just been catching balls left and right at practice. Josh Reynolds, he's a freaking serpent, according to Dan Campbell. But Cephas was a guy that was starting to come on. And any time that Quintez, even though he's a fifth-round pick, doesn't have the great speed, but anytime he was given an opportunity, especially a couple of years ago with Matthew Stafford, all he did was make big catches. And if he's going to be out a long time, that hurts, because he's really had a great camp and has really had a great spring. So hopefully this is nothing serious. Maybe it's just a minor injury to the left leg of Quintez Cephas, but that was the biggest news that came out of today. And yes, it will open the door for the likes of Benson and Pimpleton and others, Tom Kennedy. But for right now, let's keep our fingers crossed that this is not a major injury for Quintez Cephas, the third-year man out of Wisconsin. All right, Nick Shook from Around the NFL and NFL.com is going to join me coming up next. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough. Covered in chocolate, that's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to the new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs with a marshmallow, they're only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Go to Built.com right now. Snag a box before they're gone. All right, they are fantastic. Light, fluffy, marshmallowy cookie dough. It's sick. So good. Get yourself a cookie dough chunk puff. Get yourself a Built Bar if you haven't had Built Bars before. They are phenomenal. They've been with us for over a year now, and I absolutely love them. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 from our friends at Built Bar. Get those cookie dough chunk Built Puffs and do that right now. As promised, Nick Shook is our guest from NFL.com and the NFL Network, and joins me now here today on Locked On Lions. Nick, thanks for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Your impressions of what's going on here in Detroit. You're not here. I like sometimes going outside the grid here to kind of get the pulse of what's nationally people think, but people are excited. You and I were talking before we hit record here, and with Hard Knocks coming in a week, who knows what the excitement level will churn out for this Lions team. But what do you think?
I mean, it's always easy, I think, to get behind a Dan Campbell team just because, you know, you got to love the way he coaches, his style. You know, we, on our podcast, the Sean and Shook podcast last week, we talked about it, and, you know, my buddy Sean, my co-host, was like, I'd run through a brick wall for him. And it's funny because he took the words right out of my mouth. I would love to play for Dan Campbell and his fire, his intensity, and the way he backs his players up, how he gets emotional when they took their tough losses last year. He's a guy you want to play for, and he's a guy you want to root for. So they're a fun team to track in that regard. Hard Knocks is going to make it very interesting. It typically does. And, you know, they could paint them as a team on the rise, as a team with Jared Goff trying to reclaim his career, and a bunch of youngsters that are trying to make their mark. You know, I think about Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think about Penei Sewell. You know, Jeff Okuda, a former first-round pick who's looking to do great things. And you know, I know he's not going to be back immediately, but Jameson Williams as well, another addition to that team. So there's a lot of intrigue, and there's a lot of room for hope. And I think that's more exciting than being a team that's devoid of talent and has no direction, which I think we've seen the Lions be that team in years past. So it's kind of a bright new start. It's not necessarily one that you're going to say, hey, they're going to go win the Super Bowl this year. But, you know, I think things are pointing in the right direction.
Three wins a year ago, yet the rebuild, it seems like, based upon the division a little bit, Green Bay maybe a notch worse, Minnesota sort of starting over, but not really, and the Bears being horrible. Folks feel like, hey, maybe year one, three wins with a rough schedule and last year's roster, which was bad. Year two, maybe would they double it? But now folks are talking about 8-9 wins. Are you buying that in year two?
I think that's a little high. You know, not to plug my podcast twice in a row, but we've been doing a week-by-week breakdown of divisions, and last week was the NFC North, and we did go through this and kind of look at the schedule and set an over-under. And I think the fair range for them coming off of how they fought to get the wins they got last year, I think the fair range is like 6-7. I think if you get 6 or 7 wins, you're looking in the right direction. And that might be a low bar entering the season, might temper expectations, but you have to look at that as another step of progress. You're making improvements incrementally, and it buys your coach and your regime more time to continue to build toward their ultimate goal. So 9 wins might be a lot, but the NFC North is pretty open. Other than the fact that the Packers are probably going to win it again, the rest of the division, there's a lot of question marks. I don't expect a lot from the Bears. The Vikings are very much an unknown. And the Lions, like we said before, are intriguing, and you know, you have some optimism with them. Now, the Vikings, that I've seen predictions range all over the place. I think offensively they have the tools. Defensively, I have a lot of questions. They also have a new rookie head coach. How are all those pieces going to fit together, and how quickly can they get their feet under them? The Lions don't have to deal with that this year. They're now in year 2 of Dan Campbell. So I think that they're positioned better on that front. Maybe not in terms of personnel overall, but in terms of coaching experience and having the culture established, I think they're in a better spot. So I could see them getting up to 7 wins. They would have to pull a few upsets, I think. And I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think we set that around 6 or 7, and I might have stuck or gone slightly under. So I think that's about the range. But even then, you should be excited by that, because one thing I know you know for certain is the fact that Detroit has not had a lot of proof or reason to be excited about the direction which the franchise is headed in the last 4 or 5 years. I think this could be the year that they finally get some of that.
Nick Shook around the NFL, NFL.com with me. You mentioned before the name Penei Sewell. 2 days in pads so far here for week 2 of training camp, and everybody's just raving about Sewell taking that next step. How much do you look at that offensive line and go, that could be the reason this team doubles their wins?
Oh, a huge part. I think they've done a really good job of bolstering that offensive line and you know, investing in the franchise tackle and trying to build around whoever the quarterback ends up being long-term, whether it is Jared Goff or somebody else. You know, I'm a big proponent of building from the inside out, from going the offensive defensive lines, where I think football games are won and lost in the trenches. You know, not to sound cliche, but it is very much true. You know, if you can't protect, you can't do much. And if you can't stop the run, you can't do much defensively, not to mention get after the passer. So you start there, you build from there, you find your franchise left tackle, you expect him to continue to improve. And he's not the only solid player on that offensive line. So that's probably one of the reasons I'm encouraged by them. And then seeing where their offense goes in year 2 with the pieces they've added, the continued development of Amon-Ra St. Brown. You got T.J. Hockenson at tight end, of course. I like where they're headed, and I think it all starts with the offensive line.
You mentioned Goff. The line can be great. The running game could be pretty good with Swift and Williams and Craig Reynolds and stuff. But, you know, where are you on Goff? Are you a Goff supporter? Do you think this is his last year? Or does he just need some weapons around him and he'll get it when Jamison Williams is healthy? Chark is here now. What do you think of 16?
I think that receiving core is in a lot better place than it was a year ago, where you were banking on Tyrell Williams to come in and make a difference. And you know, that didn't happen, as we know. I think that when it comes to Jared Goff and evaluating his future, you also have to, at the same time, consider the market around him. And as we saw in this past offseason, the carousel spun very quickly at times. And by the time it came to a rest, you basically had 2 guys left, Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo. One of those got traded, even after it looked like he may have just been stuck in Cleveland for the whole year. That ended up getting done. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo might end up on the move here sooner rather than later. So if you go into the next offseason with the same approach and you again survey the marketplace and figure out who's going to be out there, that's going to be a big part of what you do with Jared Goff, because, you know, security-wise, contract-wise, it's not there long-term. But if he does play adequately with the weapons that have been upgraded around him, and as we mentioned, the offensive line, you have the talent. You know, you have the talent to, I think, elevate him. It's just a matter of him avoiding the mistakes he's made in the past. And the Lions giving him that rope. And he's really got to go out there and prove that he is the guy for the job long-term, that he was, you know, not even worth that, you know, number 1 overall pick that was spent on him, you know, 6 years ago, but somebody that they can put their trust in beyond this season. I tend to not trust him at this point. He makes the mistakes that you just shake your head at, but the talent is still there. So it's a matter of, does improving the group around him make him better? That remains to be seen. And if it does pay off, then you have, I think, your answer, at least for the next year or 2.
You rather have him or Kirk Cousins?
Probably. I would say Kirk Cousins, but your ceiling's not getting much higher. You know, I think Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM of the Vikings, some people might have seen his recent comments on Kirk Cousins as throwing the quarterback under the bus, but he was being brutally honest in that there is an elite class of quarterbacks, and then there's everybody else. And Kirk Cousins is one of everybody else. And if you're going to go try to win a Super Bowl and your quarterback's going to be your strength, Kirk Cousins isn't that guy. So it's not so much a lateral move going from Goff to Cousins. It's a slight upgrade, but you're still in that same range. So I don't look at that as something that really excites me long-term. And if Jared Goff can be a better quarterback, you know, you're still getting a little bit better with Cousins, but it's not going to elevate you that much.
Talking to Nick Shook, NFL.com, or on the NFL. What about DeAndre Swift? Some folks feel like, all right, year three, here we go. This is the year, if he's healthy, that he really breaks out. Are you a believer?
To a degree. I'm more a believer in the backfield as a whole. I really like Jamal Williams and what he brought to the table coming over from Green Bay, and I think that's a good 1-2 punch. Swift is another guy. I think that, you know, the theme kind of just is established with the Lions this year that there's room to really prove yourself and really say, hey, I'm a key piece of this franchise going forward right now. And it starts with this season. I think if he can stay healthy, he gets some momentum going forward. They have the offensive line that's able to block effectively for the most part to clear the lanes for him to make an impact. It's just a matter of going out and doing it now. And you know, I could sit back and a year from now and look like I was, you know, extremely underwhelming right now, but I tend to be conservative with projections on guys that haven't quite proven it to me yet. So that's how I'm going to stick with him.
We're going to talk more with Nick Shook from NFL.com. We'll ask him about the defense and even get into a little bit about the opener with Philly coming to town. We'll do that coming up next right here on Locked On Lions. More with Nick Shook from NFL.com. Nick, this team took Aiden Hutchinson at 2. It was really a no-brainer in this past draft. They've been raving about him. Obviously, there were other options there, including Kayvon, and we went around and around on that in the spring. But your impressions, I guess, of what Aiden Hutchinson's going to bring, will he be a double-digit sack guy as a rookie? And what do you think just about the fit of him being here and kind of having to be the poster boy, being the local guy, staying home?
Well, you hope that he is the answer at edge rusher that the Lions have been seeking for quite some time now, really. And what you're going to get out of him, I don't know if you necessarily get double-digit sacks, but what you get out of him is a polished player, a guy who wins with power. He wins with a variety of moves. He even has some speed to him. And he's a guy that fell in their laps at 2. You know, for a long time there, we thought he was going to go guaranteed number one to Jacksonville. They go in a different direction, and suddenly you get the hometown kid. He stays home, and he starts to write the story that everybody wanted to write for him. So now it's just about going out and doing it. And I don't think you can find a much better fit for the Lions in terms of need, in terms of background and the type of player he is. He's got a high motor. He's going to be a consistent guy. He's going to be a guy that you can count on to try to get after the passer. And you expect a lot from him from, you know, being the number 2 overall pick. So I'm not going to put that expectation on him that I see double digit sacks right out of the gate, because that's pretty remarkable, but I think he can flirt with it. And if he can get close enough to it, then that's a success in year one.
There's a lot of talk about Aaron Glenn eventually being a head coach in this league. And for a defense that last year finished 31st in scoring, the expectations, again, very, very high. As you look at this roster defensively and what Aaron Glenn can do, you know, what do you see as maybe the strengths and weaknesses?
I think there's some room for improvement at you know, the second level of the defense. But one of the guys that really stood out to me watching the Lions last year, which, you know, I mean, some of those games were painful to watch, but there were other times where you could see them starting to turn the corner a little bit. You saw little glimpses of what they could potentially could be. And one of the guys that really stood out to me more than anybody else was Tracy Walker. I think I listed him as Detroit's unsung hero this past offseason from the previous season. And the reason being is, you know, when you watch a game back, and whether you're watching it in film or you're watching it in condensed form, you tend to notice the guys that are just always around the ball or are always making a timely play and just, you know, maybe not playing their coverage and everything perfectly on a per down basis that you'd see on the all 22, but just guys that keep figuring into the outcome of the game. And Tracy Walker was that kind of guy for me last year. You know, he kept making impacts and really stood out to me. So, you know, you got to add in guys like that, add in Hutchinson. You expect, you know, Jeff Okuda to be more consistent and available and everything else this next year, then you're starting to build the pieces of your defense. And I think that that is probably going to be, I don't know, because their offense, I see the weapons there. It's just a matter of executing. Whereas defense, maybe you're a half of a step behind your offense so far. But I like the potential. And I think that's probably what's most important is the potential there. And Aaron Glenn being able to try to continue to build his resume to potentially be a future head coach, you know, a former player. I'm sure he relates to his players really well, and they probably love to play for him just as much as I would love to play for Dan Campbell. It's just a matter of, you know, as a franchise, kind of continuing that progression, taking that next step, continuing to build up toward being a contending team. And I think that all starts this year.
You're an Ohio guy. You've seen him a lot. You mentioned Okuda. What do you think? You know, injuries certainly have been a concern. He looks to be in great shape. He was drafted third for a reason. Can he be that shutdown guy? And what do you think of Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn saying he's battling with Will Harris, opposite of Oluwariye, just to be a starter? That sort of caught my eye a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of a motivational tactic. Two former players trying to push their prized former rookie, who wasn't available a whole lot last year, to, hey, go earn that draft spot. Go earn that pick that we spent on you. Go earn the hype that came with that pick and prove that you're worthy of this. You know, it's funny because if you look at Ohio State cornerbacks throughout the years, there was a period there where they were just producing shutdown guys, the Marshawn Lattimores, the Denzel Wards, those types. But I think that they earned a reputation as a program that was maybe a little inflated. I go back to the rise and fall of Sean Wade when he was there. You know, his junior year, he's seen as a first-round pick, and he gets tossed from the bowl game against Clemson. They go on to lose that game. And then the next year, he just takes a huge step backward. Now, of course, they lost their defensive backs coach to the NFL in that period of time, so that would kind of maybe play a factor in it. But it's not as guaranteed as you think of Ohio State products coming to the NFL and making a massive impact. Bradley Roby is another example of one of those guys that had a lot of high expectations, never quite lived up to that high expectation. So it's hit or miss. But I think he's got the talent, and I think that what was there in college translated to the NFL. There was a reason that they spent a first-round pick on him. There wasn't much of a question. I think it's more health with him. So he's got to overcome, I think, the health thing and also the lack of, you know, rock-solid consistency from Ohio State cornerbacks. And take that next step, as all of the Lions do. He kind of flew under the radar last year because he wasn't healthy, because he dealt with those injuries. If he were to make a significant impact this year, it would be considered a bounce back season of more than just, this is a guy in year two making the leap. This is a guy in year two who is overcoming a lot and proving that he's worth it. But it is a big challenge. I like that the staff is challenging him by saying, hey, he's still battling right now. You know, a lot of that is sorted out in training camp. You hope as a Lions fan that he ends up taking hold of that job and continuing on there instead of suffering another setback.
Yeah, no, I think a guy that was the former number three overall pick, not beating out Will Harris, who comes over from the safety spot to be a converted corner, would not be a good scene.
No.
Let me ask you about the opener. I know we're over a month away, but Philly is coming in here. It was a year ago. You remember this. On Halloween afternoon, I mean, Philly just worked the Lions over. Now that you look at that matchup for week one, what stands out? Do the Lions have a shot? Is that a tough matchup for them? And there's a lot of people high on Philadelphia right now. What about you?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of factors that go into that, because I think the Lions ran into the Eagles at about the worst time possible last year, which is right around when the Eagles realized that, hey, we should probably run the football and take advantage of the talents of our quarterback and our running backs, and ended up being the league's leading team in terms of rushing, as you know, in terms of team production. That's what powered their run to the playoffs. That's what got them to this point. So I think if you throw that out, because you go into week one and there's a whole lot of unknown in week one. We've seen some surprises. I think it was it the Jacksonville Jaguars or another team that won week one and didn't win again for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And you get some surprises. Yeah. I think that was last year or the year before. You get some surprises.
Carolina always seems to win week one. Yep.
Yeah. You had Denver, and you had Denver and Carolina last year both started 3-0. And the big question was which one was for real, and neither team was for real. So there's always a lot of surprises in week one. So I say, yeah, they do have a shot, because this is the Eagles moving into year two with this offense with Jalen Hurts, who still hasn't quite proven himself as an extremely effective passer, but as somebody who can run an offense as it's designed to take care or to take advantage of their strengths. They have AJ Brown in there, and they got to kind of work that in. And if you're an Eagles fan, you hope that they're not pressing and trying to force feed and get that jump started. So you throw in all those elements and there's a lot of unknown. So I think that, yeah, that could be, I wouldn't say a trap game necessarily, but I think the Lions definitely have a shot.
Nick, appreciate the time and the insight. And I know there'll be a lot of fans that are excited just that folks are into this team and they're believing. And obviously with Hard Knock in a week, it should be interesting. But thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Nick Shook with us at the Nick Shook on Twitter, around the NFL, NFL.com, NFL Network, and check out his podcast as well. We appreciate his time and for you making us your first listen here on a Tuesday edition of Locked On Lions. We'll do it again tomorrow.